everyone. Great to be here this morning. I'm just going to start with a bit of introduction from myself. He honore he karoria, maungarongo ki te whenua, whakaro pai e ki ngā tangata katoa, ake ake, ake ake, te atua te piringa toku oranga. Honour, glory and peace to the land. May good thoughts come to all people forever and ever. The Lord is my refuge and my life. Amen. Ko Katbergs te maunga, ko Alba, Goa Bay te moana, ko Awherika ki te tonga te iwi, ko White te hapu, ko McCutcheon te tūpuna, ko te hāhi iriiri o karori te whare karakia, ko Chris Beals White toku ingoa. My mountain is the Katberg Mountains, which is in the central eastern cape of South Africa. The first sea I ever went on when I was 6 weeks old was Algoa Bay. My iwi, or the nation that I come from, is South Africa. My family are the Whites, and I come from a long line of strong wahine that started with Granny McCutcheon coming out by herself from Scotland to this eastern cape of South Africa. I worship at Karori Baptist, and my name is Chris Beals White. It is wonderful to be here this morning, and thank you for having me. My husband, Andy, is also a pastor at Karori Baptist, and the two of us, along with our 2.5-year-old daughter, Ellie, moved to Wellington in March this year, 2 weeks before lockdown. And so it's taken, with the year that it's been, it's taken us a little bit longer to get around to see other churches and meet other people as part of our Baptist whānau. So I'm really excited, stoked to be here this morning. So yeah, thank you for having me. We have been doing the Being Baptist series at Karori as well as Wellington South. And this was, I've known Stephen since he was at Kerry. We trained together, and when we'd moved to Wellington, we thought this is a real opportunity to share in resources, to explore what does it mean to be Baptist, but together as multiple Baptist churches. So this week, the theme is uniting together. So it's quite fitting that we've decided to pulpit swap. Just to give you a bit of my story with Baptist churches, I came to be a Baptist by accident. If there's anyone else that came to be here by accident, I think Baptist churches are sometimes referred to as the refugee church because they just take everyone from any denomination. And so I came by accident. I was invited to an Easter camp at 15, and at that time was the first time I realized who Jesus was. And from then, I started attending church, which was a Baptist church, because my friend went there, and that's what happened. So, Northcote Baptist on the North Shore of Auckland. I then, growing up, I led in children's ministry, led in youth ministry. I was involved in some overseas mission, like our local church missions committee, and we had a number of personnel in India as part of Transcend Baptist missionaries. So, I got the chance to travel over there and spend some time there. Baptist churches working together. I went to Kerry Baptist College after I felt God's call to ministry after working in a retail sector for 8 years. And there, you know, it's again, this melding of churches and church resources. I got to spend some time while I was training at Long Bay Baptist on the North Shore of Auckland. My husband was the youth pastor at Franklin Baptist in Pukekohe, which sits right on the border between Auckland and the Waikato. We were there for a few years, and that was a place that nurtured and shaped me, and we had our daughter there, and they nurtured and shaped her. I sat on a few governance boards for the Baptist Union, and now we find ourselves at Karori Baptist in Wellington. I'm not saying this all to give you, like, my CV rundown, like, here's my credentials, and now I'm free to preach, right? Like, that's not what it's about. What it is I find myself, I am a story and of a journey of influence and shaping, of seeing God at work through shared resources and partnership of Baptist churches. I am that narrative. I'm a product of that. And it's been my privilege to be that. Recently, our national leader of the Baptist movement challenged us as leaders to consider what does gospel renewal look like in our neighborhoods? And put it differently, to put it another way, what would it look like for the area of Island Bay, or Karori, to flourish? This what does it look like for them, these neighborhoods to flourish, is determined and revealed to us through the Holy Spirit and discernment. And you guys would have talked about that. What does that discernment look like in a Baptist way over the last few weeks? But the how we thrive, how we actually bring gospel renewal to our neighborhoods, is deeply embedded in our Baptist convictions. This comes from us working together, of sharing of our resources, wanting to see each other thrive. Love that song we're singing this morning, isn't it? Like, we want to see freedom come to people. We want to see people to come to know Jesus. I want to see that in Wellington South Baptist, in Island Bay neighborhood. I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want to see people experience freedom and transformation. I want to see that for you guys in this community, for your faith community and your neighborhood. I want to see that for Karori too. We want to see our people, our neighbors and our friends and our family to thrive. We want to see them this. As I've been thinking about this topic this week, this whakatauki keeps coming to my mind. And so I'd love us to keep this in mind as we read our text today. Nā tōrōrō, nā takurōrō, ka ora ai te iwi. This literally means, with your food basket and my food basket, the people will thrive. And in a more metaphorical way, this whakatauki encapsulates the notion that while we each have our own food basket and by ourselves we could survive, when we work together, when people go beyond, we take people beyond just survival into flourishing, into prosperity, into the fullness of themselves when we are sharing our resources. So let's just keep that whakatauki in mind as we open scripture today. Scripture has many clear messages of partnership and of working together. Today we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27, unity and diversity within the body. It's probably an image many of you would have heard before or familiar with. But just for a bit of context, the Corinthian environment was a heavily trade-focused environment. Corinth is this narrow bit of land between two harbours, so it became this quite strategic place when it comes to trade. It was a place that people came to earn money. If you're left with no other options, you can go to Corinth and probably make a dime. There was a strong Roman culture of competitiveness and self-made people. People would seek to gain power at any cost, using status and their connections to move up the social ladder. And these cultures, this attitude, started to filter into the church at Corinth. And this is what, when Paul speaks in his letters to the Corinthian church, this is the kind of backdrop that he's speaking to. So we're going to open, if you do have Bibles or an app on you, or it's up on the screen, reading from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear was to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honourable treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are to be treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that it lacked, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Word and that we have the Word in Scripture for us to get to know you, for you and your purposes to be revealed to us. God, we pray that this morning, as we have opened your Word, would you speak to us as individuals, as a group of people geographically located in Island Bay today. God, we thank you for your provision and that you are able to speak to us. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So there's kind of two key things, I think, when we hear that story. I love this metaphor, firstly, the body, because it's so relatable. Every one of us has a body. We have an idea of how bodies function or don't function. And so it's quite easy in relation to our physical beings. This first kind of clear message that comes through in this passage is that value every part of the body. It's clear that every part has value and worth. No matter how small the part, it still affects the body. The body doesn't work if there isn't a diversity of parts as well. The body doesn't work if it's obviously just one whole eye or just a collection of legs. I love that saying, we're all legs. Well, yeah, it doesn't make sense, does it? Not effective. The whole is affected and influenced by all of its parts. So an example for me, I'm not the best at hearing. I've been told I have a small ear canal on one side. And in our office, we share office with a bunch of us, and we have partitions between our desks. And often when people want to communicate with each other, they just like pop over the partition to talk. But often I've noticed people only pop over to make eye contact with you. And then the rest of the time, they're actually just speaking like this. So like eye contact's enough to speak. But I've noticed recently, I really struggle to hear what people are saying when I can only see their eyes. So especially my husband's quite tall, so he just like sits in his chair, can see over the top and talks to me. Like, Andy, can you actually just like jump out from the side of the partition? When I can see someone's mouth, I can hear them so much better. You know, that's like a lip reading thing. That's obviously, you know, what people use that. But I've noticed that for me, that I hear better when my eyes are working, when my eyes are seeing things. There's a way that our body and our small little parts work together. In this text, it also says that those who seem to have less worth in this kingdom economy, they are to be given more worth and more status. Those who are seen to be weaker are indispensable. There is a value for every part. So how does this relate specifically to us being Baptist? Well, a key belief within Baptist ecclesiology, or the way that Baptists view church and what church should be, is the primacy of the local church. So what that means is that every individual church is key to our understanding of what it means to be church. Baptists believe that an individual church needs nothing other than a group of believers to be a church. Seems to make sense for us, right? We don't need someone else, somewhere else, any kind of authority to say, you are a church. It's gathered people that make a church. That's the core of a Baptist belief. You are the church because a group of believers are in communion with each other. In the Baptist church structure, every member, every committed person to the community is valued and is a tool for the Spirit of God to speak to and through. That's our Baptist discernment. The same principle applies when we step like a bit wider, I zoom out a bit, into like wider Baptist structures, is that it's not just big churches or churches over a certain number or churches that can pay a membership fee that become part of a Baptist church. Baptist churches. You don't need to have any of those credentials to participate in wider Baptist life. Every part, every church that is a gathered group of believers matter and are valued. So an example of this, so we have Assembly Council, which is the governance board for the Baptist Union, the gathered group of people, and the people who are, they're voted on to these roles, but they represent a broad range of our churches. So some person that's on there is part of a church of 2,000 people. We'll probably have multiple services happening all over the show in a couple of different locations. But at the same time, there's also someone who is there who is part of a missional community that's probably about like 10 or 15 people. That is the breadth of who we represent as Baptist churches. And every one of those types of situations or faith communities matter and are valued as part of who we are as a collective. The small church in rural Waikato, the Auckland church running multiple services across multiple locations, the Burmese church that just started up as part of a response to a refugee community, every single one of those faith communities matter. We don't all have to be like each other, and in fact, we probably shouldn't be like each other, but every single one of those churches matter and have value to our whole body. Once we recognise that every person and every faith community has value, this call that we see within this passage within Corinthians is to put aside our individualism and work together. In 1 Corinthians, the body, with all of its individual parts, is one symbiotic whole. It is interrelated and interdependent. All the parts function better when it's like this. Paul is speaking against this environment of rampant individualism and competitiveness. The body needs all of its parts. It needs the diversity of all of its parts to function well. And it's not just that it functions well, but every part has a concern for one another. It cares about the other parts. At verse 25, the body's parts should have equal concern for one another. And 26 says, when one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. When one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. This is a relationship there is relationship and connection and care within the body for its other members. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like something I could get behind. Feeling, I want to be connected and cared for. I want my church to be connected and cared for. I'd love to know that there are other churches around the country and around the world that are praying for my church, that are ready to support what it is that we need as a church, as a faith community, that they can have real concern for my community flourishing, to see gospel renewal in my neighbourhood. Wouldn't it be good to know that there's churches out there praying for Wellington South Baptist, to praying for your Island Bay community and wherever else beyond where your members are living? To know that if you need things, there's people there to support you. I think it's this beautiful reflection of what is inside our faith communities and then replicated into bigger relationships, bigger spheres of influence and community. One of the problems I have found in my time and amongst lots of different Baptist organisations and churches, one of our big problems is we can get fixated on our autonomy. And if you've been around a Baptist church for a while, you would have heard that word tracked around, autonomy, because legally, within our legal structures, every Baptist church is its own church. The Baptist Union offices in Auckland can say what they want, but they don't necessarily have to have an impact here at this church or the other Baptist church down the road. Legally, we are independent. But if we get fixated on our autonomy and our independence, we can completely miss the good works that God is doing among our people and among our other communities. We miss opportunities to better serve the gospel. We can miss opportunities to learn from each other and grow with each other. But the message of the gospel, the message of this passage today, is that we're not meant to be separate, we're not meant to be isolated, we're not meant to be disconnected, independent faith communities. We are the body of Christ. Every one of us is part of it, and we should all have equal concern for each other. Now, I've got loads of examples of great ways that Baptist churches are working together. I want to read some of them out because I think they make me really excited and really happy about being part and seeing partnership happen. So NZBMS, like I see This is part of one of the resources of NZBMS that you guys would have done. And you had Carly Bird here the other week, I believe. Right? Yeah, I think a few weeks ago. So Carly has spent some time in Bangladesh as one of our Trans-End missionaries. She was sent from Karori Baptist. But she's an example of so many of our people that are in the mission field wouldn't be able to do what they do if it wasn't for partnership of Baptist churches. Often no one church can afford to send one person overseas, so we send our Trans-End missionaries around the country to raise support. And they are able to go, and the work like FreeSet and other organisations around Southeast Asia at the moment happen because of partnership with Baptist churches, of local Baptist churches. That's a beautiful thing. Kerry, I trained at Kerry, Stephen trained at Kerry. I don't know if anyone else has done some papers there. That is an expression of Baptist commitment to each other. We have a training college. No one church could do that on their own. There's a sending of our people to get trained, and they get sent out to other churches. That there's this movement of supporting one another in a wider movement. Kerry is resourced from funds from different churches as well. It's a whole picture of people working together. Recently, our church are looking at starting a charitable business trust. I'm not good with money stuff, so that's not my area, but we're looking at it. But all of our resources, what we're finding out how to do it, how that works best for a church, is Oxford Terrace Baptist and Christchurch have done the same thing. So they're sharing our resources, they're sharing their expertise of what they've learnt with us, all for free, because we're going, this is some of the projects that we're wanting to do, some of what it looks like to see a gospel renewal in our neighbourhood is similar to what they're wanting to see in theirs. So there's a sharing of resource. I was part of, at the church that we were part of in Pukekohe, so Franklin Baptist, was part of a group called Pressing On. That was a group of Auckland Baptist churches that shared resources to go through the same preaching series through the year. So Windsor Park's a very big church. They have their own Windsor Creative, so design group of people. They're equipped to do that. And so they made all these beautiful resources that we didn't have the funding or personnel to do, but they shared. They had what we'd delegated off so that one person was sorting out the preaching calendar. There was one person doing different aspects that a group of churches pulled together their resource to work together. So there's already loads of things happening within our movement, within our churches, of Baptist partnering together and having concern for one another. I want to bring us back to that whakatauki. Nā tōrōrō, nā taku rōrō, ka ora I te iwi. With your food basket and my food basket, the people will thrive. We want to see gospel renewal in our communities and in our nation. We all have parts to play in that. Your part, Wellington South Baptist, is really important. I might not know what that part looks like, but as we discern together, as you as a faith community sit before God, knowing that every one of you can hear from God, this communal discernment is so important to determining what does that faith renewal look like, gospel renewal look like in your neighbourhood. So let us keep asking God, how can we work together to help our churches and communities to thrive? We're going to take a few moments, I think we've got a bit of time to do that, to just talk with each other, to go, how do you think, how can we work together to help churches and communities thrive? What does it look like? What are the resources that Wellington South Baptist has within its basket to help this community and potentially other communities in Wellington thrive? Everyone turn to each other, and then we'll take a bit of hearing back from everyone after that. Would anyone like to feedback, share some things that they think, what is it that's within the basket of Wellington South? Do you guys use